the big question. Are you ready to reach new limits? It's time to change your family tree and redefine industry. Enough with all the cliche, cookie-cutter recommendations about finance, business, and life. You found the podcast to give you the tips you need to create the unconventional lifestyle and outcomes you've always wanted. It's time to build your own systems and play your own game. You're tapped in with the one, the only, Dan Nicholson, and this is the Unconventional Wealth Podcast. Unconventional.
Welcome to the Unconventional Wealth Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Nicholson, and today we're thrilled to welcome Dr. Heather Stone, a leading functional medicine practitioner specializing in hypothyroidism and Hashimoto's. With over two decades of experience, Dr. Stone has helped countless individuals reclaim their health and vitality. Join us as we uncover the secrets to optimal wellness and entrepreneurial success. Welcome, Dr. Stone. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. We talked beforehand about sometimes how my childhood speech impediment, funny how it happens there, jumps in. Did I pronounce everything correctly?
Yes, you did a great job.
For our listeners out there, could you speak a little bit about your specialization?
Yeah, so I work in the functional medicine space, and my patient population is mostly women who suffer with low thyroid symptoms or Hashimoto's, which is an underlying autoimmune condition. And we really work with each person as an individual so that you can understand why someone has symptoms, why they have a disease process. And we have to really know that the body gives us symptoms as a way of communicating that something is not quite right. So it's our job to figure out what's not quite right. And then what is the path to helping someone resolve these symptoms so they can live a full, amazing life.
When someone comes to you, what has been their typical journey up to that point? I'm imagining they've tried a bunch of different things and they've grown kind of frustrated and they're feeling a little bit helpless.
Yeah. So most of the time, what happens in this population is they'll start to have symptoms of fatigue. It's difficult for them to lose weight. They may have some anxiety, some depression, their hair is falling out, they have brain fog, and they go to their primary care physician or their practitioner and they say all of these symptoms. They say, I can't sleep, I have low energy, I have depression, anxiety, I can't lose weight. And the doctor says, oh, I think that sounds like you have low thyroid. And so then they will run very minimal testing. Usually it's just a TSH. And one of two things happens. The TSH comes back high, which means that you have low thyroid. And so then the doctor will be like, yep, you have low thyroid. Here's your thyroid hormones. You're going to be on these for the rest of your life. Just take these hormones and everything's going to be amazing. And unfortunately, when they take those thyroid hormones, they wait couple of weeks. And some people may feel great after they take those, but usually it only lasts for a short period of time. And then the symptoms start to come back. Other times the symptoms really don't change and they don't go away. And so they're still left with all of these symptoms and they go back and they check their thyroid hormones. And a lot of times the thyroid hormones are normal. So then they're like, now what? So the doctors, everything looks fine with your thyroid. You're on the right thyroid medication. So if you can't sleep still, here's a sleeping pill and here's an antidepressant. And, or we get, it's just menopause. This is just what happens at your age. You just have to learn to live with it. The other instance is they go to the doctor originally and they have all those symptoms and then the thyroid comes back normal. So they don't really have a solution and they don't have a disease necessarily that can be diagnosed or labeled with a medication. So they either are told just to live with it, this is what happens, or they're just given all these medications to suppress symptoms and never really feeling good. And they just give up in a sense where this is what life is going to be like.
And once they start a treatment, how easily is it for them to wean off of it? Is it similar to something like TRT where once you're on it, it's a lifelong commitment, or are you able to course correct?
Let me say this, being on thyroid hormones sometimes is absolutely necessary. And it is the thing that, or at least a piece of the puzzle that they do need. So let's talk this around this. 90 to 98% of women who've been diagnosed with low thyroid actually have an underlying autoimmune condition called Hashimoto's. You said that earlier in the intro. And Hashimoto's means that the immune system is tagging the thyroid tissue for destruction. So the thyroid tissue is actually being destroyed. And so on some level, most women need these thyroid hormones, especially if they've been diagnosed with Hashimoto's. But the reason that they don't feel well after they take those thyroid hormones is because there are so many other underlying triggers that are causing the immune system to actually attack the thyroid. So thyroid medication may be necessary, but it's only a very small piece of the puzzle. And what I always tell patients and women in general is that if your thyroid hormones are normal and you're taking thyroid hormones, then you probably need those. However, if you still have symptoms, your body is still trying to tell you that something is not quite right. Like, for example, if you're driving your car and your check engine light comes on, but also your windshield wiper fluid, you get a light for that and that's low. So it's like you fill the windshield wiper fluid and that light goes off, but the check engine light is still on. It's still a symptom that there's something going on underneath the surface that the body hasn't yet been able to overcome.
So one of the kind of key terms in your bio was the term functional medicine. And personally, I'm a huge fan of functional medicine from my own life experiences and times when I've gone into the doctor and had all these symptoms. And they did a version of what I call group indexing. They're like, okay, you're a male in your early 40s and you probably have anxiety. So why don't you take this? Or have you thought about relaxing? Like, I have thought about relaxing. So I appreciate that. Thank you. But I know my body enough to know that this is different than what I've experienced over the 40 years that I've lived inside this body. And so I've sought out some other guidance. For our listeners, can you talk more about what you mean by functional medicine and who is a good candidate for this pathway?
If you have a heartbeat, then you're a good candidate for this type of care. So
that's what I thought the answer would be, but I wanted to hear you say it.
So functional medicine, all it means is that you're going to get down to the root cause of why you have a disease process or a symptom, right? But functional medicine can also be used in the optimization of health. And I think we have to really understand that our traditional model, at least the way that it's set up here in the US, it is a sick care model and it serves a purpose and it is necessary in some instances. But we get frustrated when we go to the sick care model to improve health because the sick care model is really to help the body get over an emergency state where it cannot quite overcome what it's trying to deal with on its own, right? If you have a diagnosed disease or your arm is broken, or quite frankly, you don't really want to get better, you just want to manage a disease process, that is a really good model or system to be in. But if you're someone who is really wanting to optimize your health and improve your health and prevent those chronic degenerative diseases, that's where functional medicine really shines. Also, if you want to reverse degenerative disease processes, this is where functional medicine really plays a huge role. Because in functional medicine, we're looking for the underlying root cause. We are not just running tests to diagnose a disease and give a medication or a surgery or whatever else. We are looking to understand where is the physiological imbalance, and not just looking at like the lab ranges, right? Those really big giant lab ranges, because when you fall outside of those lab ranges, that's an indication of more of a disease state. But what if you're falling outside of the optimal range, but you're still within that giant lab range? That's where we find the dysfunction. And so a good functional medicine practitioner is going to do the testing that is necessary and go deep as necessary so that we can figure out what's causing your symptoms and to understand what path do we need to go down to help your body restore optimal function. So there is a huge difference between, do I just want to maintain and manage and slow down the progression of a disease? Do I need to have a surgery? As my body an emergency state? And that's exactly where the traditional sick care model shines. Or do you want to optimize health, reverse disease, improve your longevity, not really buy into this is just what happens with age. This is what happens when you go through menopause. This is what happens in life. But truly understand that we can have an optimal life all the way up until the last breath. As a matter of fact, I was doing a Peloton class yesterday and I saw this 80-year-old grandpa. He was passing me up and I was like, man, I'm slacking, but I do not want to. I gave him like 10 high fives because I'm like, he's doing amazing at 80 and really kicking my butt here in this class.
I love that story. So you mentioned sick care and that being the traditional model, and I want to draw a little bit of a career parallel. So I'm a CPA, don't hold it against me. And my focus is called Unconventional Wealth, is really showing business owners how to grow their net worth so that they can live the life that they want. And so many business owners are maybe growing their revenue, but they're taking on so much debt and other obligation that they're not actually growing their net worth like they think they are. Going through the traditional educational path that I went through, you know, accounting degree, et cetera, we don't learn about any of that. And we learn about how to work for a Fortune 500 company. And that's how business schools are rated. So you're going to be a top business school if you're placing a lot of people in the top consulting firms, the top Fortune 500 companies. And so you're learning how to maximize shareholder value in the business school. Some people like that, some people don't. But if you want to work with small business owners, get into the nitty gritty, you have to go out and learn it yourself. And I had to unlearn a lot of what I thought I knew about business. And I was always that sort of got to get the 4.0 type student. And so then I had it was a tough lesson to have to unlearn a bunch of stuff. Anyhow, that was a long preamble to ask you, how much have you had to unlearn from your education, and how much have you had to go out and just kind of research and pursue other source of information to be able to treat your patients the way that you do?
I'll say this. I'm traditionally trained as a chiropractor, right? So I went to chiropractic school. And in chiropractic school, and the philosophy of chiropractic is that you do get down to the root cause. And we know that the root cause of maybe having a subluxation or a misalignment structurally is structural, emotional, or chemical. And a lot of times in chiropractic school, most of it is focused on the structural component, but there's not a lot of focus on the nutritional or chemical and emotional side of things. And it was my journey as I went through school, my whole focus was on how am I going to turn my own health around? And that's what started my journey, is that I also was dealing with, you know, the inability to lose weight. I was tired. I was going in pre-med and my undergrad. I was like, this is not going to be my path. I go to a traditional doctor and, you know, the top doctor in Austin, and he's, oh, nothing's wrong with you. But oh, by the way, you're probably not going to be able to have kids without fertility treatment. And I was just like, man, this, and at the time I was trying to decide which path I was going to go down. I knew I did not want to work in the emergency room, but I was like, do I want to be an MD, a DO? What path do I want to go down? And I think my experience with my own health was like, okay, I know that doesn't resonate with me. That's not going to be my life. And intuitively, I know that the body can heal, and I am going to figure that out. And so even through chiropractic school, I was going to school on the weekends outside of school because I knew that I needed to. Chiropractic essentially was my path to get licensed, but intuitively, I knew that I was going to get down as deep as I possibly could to facilitate healing. And once I was able to work with my own body and get myself out of that state and have optimal health, I was like, oh my gosh, there are millions of other people that are stuck in this system and they don't have the information to get out. And so I was doing functional medicine before it was called functional medicine. I'm glad that we can put a name on it so that people can understand what it is. But I was just working to carve my path out. People thought I was crazy when I was first saying you can reverse diabetes. And they're like, she is a crazy person. I'm like, look, it's right here. I've got hundreds and now thousands of patients that reverse diabetes and reverse these chronic degenerative diseases. But I really have had to carve the path. And I don't know necessarily if it was about unlearning, but I think it was about knowing to stick with what I knew to be true intuitively. So I had to have a lot of pushback, right? I had to have a lot of areas where I'm like, I hear what you're saying and I understand that's the traditional solution, but that isn't the path that I'm taking. And so it was a lot about standing in my own power and intuition to really work down this path.
Yeah, lots of takeaways from what you just shared and some parallels and the things that we talk about in Unconventional Wealth. And we use this term, go to school on my tuition, which is, hey, I've already experienced personally all these setbacks and trials, and I got the education. So you can go to school on my tuition, both in terms of what I paid to learn tuition-wise, but I paid physically and emotionally to go through this transformation. So I think that's really helpful.
To
have point of view.
I think it's pretty awesome that your podcast is focused on the things that you're focused on, because I was told a long time ago, if you really want to know the truth of the matter, you do 180 degrees different of what everybody else is doing. And I will tell you, in my journey with CPAs as well, it's like interview after interview after, I'm not looking for that. I need someone that's really going to not do the traditional path. And it always felt like I was falling in the middle of, the tax code doesn't help you. I'm like, how is this possible? Can you tell me how we can make it help me? And it was just like, I finally have some CPAs that I have surrounded myself with that do like what you're doing that actually help in an unconventional way.
Yeah, you have to go out and learn it yourself. You don't learn tax strategy in an accounting degree or in a master's in tax. You learn how to prepare tax returns.
Yeah.
And in some respects, that's preparing you to work almost like a double agent for the IRS. Try to prepare the most accurate return so you pay the precise amount, rather than how do you modify your behavior to access the deductions and credits that will benefit you in your goals, but also pay less in tax. That's a totally different kind of orientation.
Yeah,
you exactly. You were also talking about following your intuition. And again, that's something that we preach. And I believe that oftentimes, I was told this years ago from a therapist. He said, Dan, you already have all the answers. I was like, what do you mean I already have all the answers? If I did, why would I be here right now? And that sounds very arrogant for me to have this perspective that I just have all the answers. And so then I'd come back next week and I'd tell him some struggle that I'm having in my business. And he's like, Dan, you already have all the answers. I know you told me that last week, but I still don't feel like I have all the answers. I'm back here paying out a network here. And it took him telling me that several times for me to finally realize, most of the things that I'm asking are preferences. So I do already have the answers and I'm out there seeking consensus. Just someone trying to give me the right answer. And in medicine, I see a lot of people, just give me the pill. Just come on. I only got an hour. The appointment's already 20 minutes late. Just, can you write me a script right now? Because I just need, I just need this solved.
I was going to say, there's so many ways that we can go there, but I just wanted to say, when it comes down to our health, we do have the answers, and it depends how connected you are and how used to listening to yourself and your body you are, because your body is born to heal. Like, we are a self-healing organism. And sometimes we just have things that are getting in the way of the body being able to overcome an underlying imbalance. But a lot of women that struggle with this particular issue with thyroid, and I think really generalized symptoms that don't have a disease, there's something inside of us that tells us that this isn't right and there has to be a solution. And sometimes the answer that we get, we're like, I don't think that's the right answer, but they must know more than me. So I'm going to just take this pill or I'm just going to settle for this. And I think it's really important that we listen and we really understand that our bodies are born to heal and they do communicate with us. And it's our job to listen and be our own advocate because nobody else is going to care more about your health than you do. And I also think it's really important for the business owners that might be listening to, you said something like get in and out of the doctor's office. They may be running 20 minutes late. Just give me a pill. I'm going to go on my way. And I think it's really important that we also put as a priority equal to or above money is our health, because without your health, you can't show up for your clients. You can't be at your best. You can't be at 100% in your business. Your brain process starts to shut down your creative centers to find solutions. And so if we can really think about optimizing our health, your business is going to go up exponentially.
Yeah. You just said no one's going to care more about your health than you do. And there's a parallel again to the finances and wealth. No one's going to care about your wealth or your finances more than you. But so many people are out there trying to separate business from the money side. I just want someone to take care of that for me. I don't really want to understand. Just take care of. I don't really want to look at my numbers. And so I have this principle: every business decision is a financial decision. You can't divorce the. And I wonder how this sits with you. Every business decision is a health decision. I was just thinking that there's a corollary to you take on a bunch more work and your energy strained and your stress, that has a health impact. I haven't thought through it, but I'm curious how that sits.
It can absolutely go vice versa, right? Every health decision is also a business decision because no matter what you're doing to improve your health, you're going to improve your business. But also every business decision will impact your health. And I think for me, I'm an entrepreneur. I love running my business. I love growing my business because I know it's going to impact more and more people. But I also know that if I don't take care of myself, then I can't show up the way that I need to. I can't solve problems the way that I need to solve problems. And I don't have the capacity to really work on the business, right? So a lot of us who are entrepreneurs, most of us are in a stage of business where we're still working in the business and we have to work on the business, right? So we are delivering a part of the service, but we also have to work on the business and our financials. And that takes energy, that takes boundaries, and that takes where our brains are working at 100%. But if you're not healthy and your body is not in an optimal state, there is no way that you can maximize your business the way that we probably all would want to. And so for me, I always have to check in, is my health still my number one priority? Am I eating well? Am I making sure I am eating the right things throughout the day? Am I getting enough rest? And do I have enough people around me to help me achieve the goals and to make the biggest impact I can? Because I have seen so many doctors, they don't take care of their health, they don't practice what they preach, and they're barely making it. And I just think that if we would prioritize our health, then your business is always going to expand.
A big part of my practice are chiropractors, functional medicine practitioners, some dentists. I do have some MDs. And it's staggering to me, the mortality rates in the medical practitioner space.
Yeah.
The lifespan of folks who are out there caring for all these other people. Are you familiar with some of that data in terms of just the life, the shortening of lifespan? And
yeah, I don't have any hard statistics. I know that dentists have the highest rate of suicide. Now we can go into why that is. They deal with a lot of chemicals. But I think it is really, as a healthcare practitioner, it is very stressful because we are always taking care of other people. And I do consult with a lot of other doctors, chiropractors, medical doctors, and the amount of struggle to get our own healthcare practitioners to put their health in front of their patients' health is very hard. And it's, you can really see when they do start doing that, everything starts to expand. But when they fall off and it's easy, honestly, it is so much easier to take care of other people than it is to take care of yourself. But we have that exactly backwards. And what I have found is that when I'm consulting other doctors, if they are not taking care of their self and they're not walking the walk, then it is difficult for them to help manage patients the best that they can because they don't know the solutions, right? If a patient has questions about dietary recommendations, if you don't do the dietary recommendations, then how are you going to help them overcome different hiccups or roadblocks that the patient gets into? And so for me, it's always been a value, right? Or part of my value system that I am very congruent with the advice and the expectation that I have with my own health that I expect my patients to have. And I think that allows you to have a bigger reach. You can connect on a different level. And then it allows you also to solve problems and work in the business and on the business and even work to expand so you're working yourself out of the business when possible.
So you mentioned a few times being entrepreneurial. And so I want to shift gears a little bit and just talk about the business side with you. When you go through chiropractic school, similar with dental school, there's maybe an inevitability of sorts that you're going to be running a practice. You're going to be a business owner. Now, not everyone, making some generalities, not everyone ends up there, but a large percentage become set up their own business. What were some lessons that you learned coming out of chiropractic school? Now you're at some point running a business. What types of money rules did you have in place at that point?
What was your last question? What types of what did I have in place?
Financial rules, money rule. What did you have any? How prepared were you for all of the things that go into managing the money side of your business?
It's interesting because I feel like the money rules that we have, the kind of game that we play, is usually dependent on how we grew up. So it's what, and so yes. I came from like middle class. My dad worked in a refinery and it was kind of, he did not go to school. He worked in the corporate and the goal is to just work your way up, work there for 30 years, retire on your 401k and blah, blah, blah. My mom was a stay-at-home mom. So financially, there was no financial IQ. It was very middle ground. And then whenever I was in undergrad, I ran a chiropractic office. So I was part of the admin. I did all the insurance billing, the collections. I ran all of that, but it was really small. It was like mom and pop. And so that's also what I knew. And then you go to chiropractic school and there's no business, any training. Yeah. Whatsoever. So then there's these consultants that kind of get you at the end of your schooling where they say, okay, we're going to teach you how to run a business. This is how you do it. And I'll never forget when I was first starting, I was part of this consulting group and they said the way that you run your business or the way that you start your business is you have a grand opening and you go door to door and you invite all these people to your grand opening. And I took that to heart and I am okay. I am going to do whatever it takes. I'm going to be successful. And this is all I knew. I literally knocked on 1200 doors, 1200 doors. I'm like, I'm having a grand opening. So I try not to go too long, but this was a really crazy story. I knock on this guy's door and he invites me and I'm like, oh dear God, I'm going to get killed. Yeah. I'm like, does anybody know where I'm at? So I like just stand at the doorway and I introduce myself and he was super nice. He was redoing his house. I give him an invitation. I'm like, okay, I look forward to seeing you, blah, blah, blah. And then I leave. The only person to show up at the grand opening was that guy, that gentleman. And he was a vice president at a bank and he gave me the loan for my first practice that I actually owned. And so I think it was divine intervention, but I think it was also just my determination that I'm going to figure this out. But after I did all of that and it was a complete failure, one person showed up after 1200 doors. I did not know anything about running a business other than me running that very small chiropractic practice, which I would say was not successful. I decided when I got into practice, I knew enough to run a business, but I didn't know really anything about business. So I hired someone completely out of the healthcare space. I hired a business coach that was in the business world. And she taught me how to read financial statements, P&L. We went over them monthly. We set goals. We started creating marketing. So I had to get different education outside of the medical field, because I think that it's a bunch of chiropractors trying to teach other chiropractors how to run businesses that are not successful. And for me, it was really about, I had an amazing gift and I truly had a huge heart to help make a big impact. And doing the mom and pop thing, the really small business, was just not where I knew that I needed to be. So I had to go outside and figure it out.
Sounds like another moment where you followed your intuition. And it's another important takeaway. Oftentimes we start this business and we want to do something extraordinary, extraordinary. Mm-hmm. And so then what we do is we're like, what is everyone else doing?
Yep.
And then what if we just copied that, which by definition would be the ordinary? We get results similar to that or worse, because we're new to it and we're trying to copy what someone else is doing. And then we're surprised and we're frustrated and we're shaming ourselves and all these other things because we're not doing something extraordinary. But to do something extraordinary, you can't do the ordinary. You can't conform and copy what the average is doing. That's a recipe to ensure you're doing the average, which is exactly what it sounds like you did, where you're like, you know what? I need to seek someone outside of chiropractic so that I can plant my own flag, establish my own brand. So kudos to you on that for sure.
Yeah, thank you. I think it's always important for me to not copy and to stay connected, make sure my health is good so that I have great ideas that I can act upon in order to, and always the push behind it is, how can I make a bigger impact?
And that to me is unconventional. You're not following the conventional, what everyone else is doing. And I just want to emphasize that again, because I believe that's so important that every business owner play their own game.
Yeah.
But to wrap up here, I know you've got a book out that people should check out, and a Facebook group that sounds like it's pretty active. Could you tell our audience a bit more about those two things?
Absolutely. I wrote a book called The Thyroid Transformation Blueprint that can be found on Amazon. And then I have about 35,000 members in my Facebook group called Happy, Healthy, and Lean. And that's where people go to really get a lot of information. I do master classes every month. I share loads of content. But more importantly, it's a community of women who are on a health journey. And it's extremely important to surround yourself with like-minded people who are pushing for the same thing.
I appreciate you for coming on today and sharing your point of view and all the work that you're doing for thousands and thousands of women out there to live a better life. So thank you, Dr. Snow, for coming on. I appreciate you.
Thank you for having me. It's been a great time.
All right. Thanks for listening, everyone. This is the Unconventional Wealth Podcast.